Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the scripture lesson which was previously read. The city of Nazareth today is not what it used to be many years ago. Today, Nazareth is the largest city as well as the capital city of the North District of Israel. It is often called the Arab capital of Israel since it's the largest Arab city in the nation. It has a population of about 65,000 people, of whom about 30% are Christian and the rest are mainly Muslim. Nazareth today contains one of the largest Christian buildings found in the Middle East, the Church of the Annunciation, which commemorates the place where the angel Gabriel visited the Virgin Mary. Nazareth is also a very popular destination for Christians to visit nowadays. It has about 23 churches and monasteries, and it attracts visitors from all over the world. The city of Nazareth was also recently in the news last month due to an important archaeological find. About 100 meters from the Church of the Annunciation, archaeologists found the remains of several walls of a house that dates to the first century AD. And it's the first time that archaeologists have discovered the remains of a dwelling in Nazareth that dates to that particular time period. And so you might say that the modern city of Nazareth is important, and it's a significant place in the minds of people today. However, that was not always the case, and certainly it was not true some 2,000 years ago. Back in the days of Jesus, Nazareth was just a small, unimportant Jewish village. It's estimated that Nazareth, back in the first century, contained only about 50 houses with a total population of less than 500 people. In fact, Nazareth is not even mentioned once in the entire Old Testament. It's not mentioned in the Talmud, nor in any writings of Josephus, the Jewish historian, who actually spent some time near Nazareth in Galilee during his life. It appears that no one before the Christian era cared about Nazareth or was impressed by it to mention it in any written document. And of course, this has led some modern-day skeptics to doubt whether the place existed during the time of Jesus. But certainly there was that little town of Nazareth back in the days of Christ, as archaeologists are now uncovering the proof of its existence from back then. In today's scripture reading, Nathanael also demonstrates a lack of respect for the town of Nazareth. When Philip came to Nathanael to share with him some good news about the Messiah, Nathanael quickly cast doubt on his enthusiasm. Philip said, "We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote about, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." To which Nathanael replied, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Now, at first, we may consider that response to be nothing but a remark coming out of an unbelieving skeptic. But yet there is a certain amount of truth to what Nathanael just said. Nazareth was not the place where the Messiah was to come from. There is no messianic prophecy found in the Old Testament regarding the town of Nazareth. And so, yes, Nathanael's question was based upon the revealed truth of Scripture. Philip said he found the one Moses and the prophets wrote about, Jesus of Nazareth. But Nathanael knew Moses and the prophets didn't even mention Nazareth, let alone identify it as the place of the origin for the coming Messiah. Nathanael knew nothing good, certainly nothing as good as the Messiah, was ever foretold by Scripture to come out of Nazareth. But we see that Philip was calm and composed in his response. He didn't argue. He didn't try to challenge what Nathanael said. Instead, he simply invited him to come and see for himself. And thanks be to God, Nathanael did go. And when Jesus saw him coming, he said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Now, of course, Nathanael was astonished that Jesus would even know him, since they had never met before. But Jesus said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And then Nathanael exclaimed, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Nathanael believed only after Jesus demonstrated his divine omniscience. Nathanael knew no ordinary human being could have known what he was doing under the fig tree. But once Jesus spoke to him, Nathanael repented of his unbelief and he confessed that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. There's no doubt that growing up in the town of Nazareth did not help Jesus gain any followers from among the Jewish people. Besides the lack of any messianic reference to Nazareth in the Old Testament, the insignificance, the lowliness of this tiny village placed a great disadvantage upon Jesus. He would never make a great first impression, having once lived there. Being identified with Nazareth was definitely more of a curse rather than a compliment back in those days. And you remember that at the time of Christ's crucifixion, Pontius Pilate took it upon himself to place an inscription upon the cross of Jesus, which read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." And of course, the chief priests were offended by the second half of that inscription, that Jesus would dare to be called the King of the Jews. However, they had no problems with the first part. In fact, it probably pleased the enemies of Jesus to see him publicly acknowledged as a Nazarene, that is, a person coming from Nazareth. For this would demonstrate to all Jesus did not come from Judea. He did not come from Jerusalem. He didn't come from anywhere associated with the priesthood or royalty or any messianic prophecy. It was as though Pilate had written that Jesus came from the wrong side of the tracks. Christ was crucified as the messianic impostor who came from Nazareth. And to add insult to injury, during his earthly life, Jesus was rejected by the people of Nazareth. They didn't really want anything to do with him. You'll recall from this past Sunday's gospel lesson that after Jesus read the scriptures in the synagogue of Nazareth, the people drove him out of the town. They tried to kill him by throwing him off a cliff. But Jesus simply passed through their midst and continued on his way. Even the people of this little town wanted nothing to do with the so-called prophet who spent his childhood days in their midst. Jesus was the Nazarene rejected by the people of Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Apparently, the visible answer would be no. From a human and first century Jewish perspective, nothing good would come from there. But from the divine perspective, the answer is yes. Good would come from Nazareth. The reason is because of the person of Jesus Christ, who is truly the Son of God. Having grown up in the town of Nazareth, he actually was born in Bethlehem, the town of David, according to the Old Testament prophecy. And not only did Christ's birth in Bethlehem fulfill the messianic promise of the Old Testament, it fulfilled the divine plan of salvation, that God's eternal Son would enter this world as a human being to live and suffer and die for the sins of the whole world. Jesus was not simply a man born in Bethlehem and raised in Nazareth. He is the eternal Word of God, made in human flesh, who has come into our world to redeem us from all of our sins and to open to us the way of everlasting life. Yes, the human Jesus lived a humble life, was born in a stable, grew up in that little town of Nazareth, ultimately was condemned by his own people and killed upon the cross, but yet he was also raised from the dead on the third day. And he ascended to the right hand of God, where he will come again someday to judge the living and the dead. This Jesus of Nazareth, who was rejected, despised, and crucified, is the ruler of this world. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Savior of all nations. Yes, he will always be Jesus of Nazareth, as the unbelieving Saul was introduced to on the road to Damascus, but now he is the living Lord of glory. We who are followers of Jesus of Nazareth will find that the world treats us the same way that it treated our Lord during his earthly life. Because we follow Jesus by faith, because we are baptized in his name, it's as if we too have come from that first century little town of Nazareth. In fact, the early Christians were once spitefully called the sect of the Nazarenes, as we read in the book of Acts. But the world only hates us because it first hated Jesus of Nazareth. His shame and his disgrace are now ours by our association with him. But yet we have the same assurance that Nathanael had in our text for this morning after he met the Lord. Jesus knows everything about us. He knows our problems and our troubles. He sympathizes with our tribulations and our weaknesses. He knows what it's like to be persecuted and rejected. Jesus understands what it's like to come from a small town, to have a humble background. He knows what it's like to preach and teach in a small town, even your own hometown, and still be rejected by the people of that town. For Jesus of Nazareth bore a cross for us and for our salvation. And now we, by faith, follow him, bearing a cross of shame in the eyes of this world, as he once did. But yet that despised, rejected man of Nazareth is the Lord of glory. And someday we will see the heavens open, and Christ will come with his holy angels to take us from this world of sin. Jesus is no longer the lowly prophet of Nazareth. Instead, he is the glorified Son of God, who dwells in heavenly splendor. Let us rejoice that we have received that gospel invitation to come and follow Christ. For if we faithfully follow him in spite of the world's rejection and shame, someday we will see heaven open and the angels of God gathered around the Son of Man. Someday he will share his glory with us and with all those who believe on him. May we never be ashamed of Jesus of Nazareth. In his holy name, amen.